You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's about 12 minutes to the top of the hour. And here with me in the studio now is Rich Moniak, today representing Veterans for Peace, and Shelby Sertick, leader for the Youth Congress for the Global Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. Welcome, both of you, to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Shelby's a little whispery today. She's got her, about to lose her voice, so we will just use it as effectively as possible. But Shelby, I did want to start with you. What is the Youth Congress for the Global Elimination of Nuclear Weapons?
So this is a project that has been envisioned by Veterans for Peace and Juno People for Peace and Justice. And the idea is to bring together students from all over the country and all over the world in the spring of 2020 here in Juno to discuss important topics related to nuclear proliferation and nuclear disarmament, and hopefully create a network of young people that will continue to work together into the future on this important topic.
Wow. So you're gearing up for a pretty big event.
Hopefully. We're aiming to have maybe around 60 students, and we're hoping to partner with the University of Alaska Southeast and to bring in speakers from all over the world as well.
Wow.
And that's 60 students participating with a bigger audience of students from the student body, of course.
It sounds like quite the undertaking. How far along in the process are you?
Right now, we're just in the visioning stage, I would say. We're making connections. We're starting to put together timelines and plans, recruit funding. We've already received a small grant from the Plowshares Fund, and they've offered support for this project as well.
And then, Rich, you're with the Veterans of Peace. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Veterans for Peace is an organization primarily of veterans that have, for one reason or another, dedicated their lives and from their experience to all different aspects of peace, creating peace, ending war as an instrument of national policy, taking care of the victims and the soldiers from war, eliminating nuclear weapons is one of the five major themes that they one of their five major mission statements that they have.
So how will you be working with the Youth Congress to bring this summit about?
So the Youth Congress, the concept was put together by Bruce Botello, our former mayor and former state attorney general, about a year and a half ago. And I'm not sure exactly what precipitated, you know, him doing that, but to me, it made a pretty powerful statement. You know, it's not just our typical little peace groups that are looking at doing this type of really challenging, ambitious work. So we then sort of began to partner with Jonathan Christ Tompkins' Alaska Fellows Program to look for a student to run it, to set it up and coordinate it, and that's where Shelby came in. And Shelby's experience in this is not new. You know, her involvement with nuclear weapons and nuclear radiation goes back to when she was in high school. And that's when I first met her, when I went to Skagway to do a story on a drama debate performance that her and another student did about the nuclear testing in the Marshall Islands. And they went to the Marshall Islands. They performed all over the country. They followed up that performance with a one about the Marshall Islands culture, which won state that year, the next year. And they also brought a three-day nuclear awareness conference to Juneau, which included two individuals from the Marshall Islands, a survivor and a current mayor, I believe, and a survivor from Hiroshima. So she's been at this for, you know, in her young life a lot longer than most of us even think about nuclear weapons in ours, you know, and it's what we need to create a youth movement is the youth with this kind of energy and insight and passion for the subject.
And Shelby, what first inspired your passion for this particular cause?
My freshman year of high school, a new English teacher was hired at my high school, Mr. Kent Fielding, who had previously taught on Kwajalein, a military base in the Marshall Islands, and he introduced a classmate and I to the book For the Good of Mankind by Jack Nidenthal, which tells the stories of Bikinian and Eniwetok's elders who were evacuated from their home islands during the U.S. nuclear testing program in the Marshall Islands. So that that book and that experience, as Rich mentioned, of developing a piece for drama, debate, and forensics is what first opened my eyes to the impacts and history of nuclear development and nuclear testing and made me passionate about the health impacts of radiation exposure. During my undergraduate at University of Alaska Fairbanks, I sort of turned more to the technical side of radiation exposure impacts and volunteered in a gamma ray spectroscopy lab testing walrus and seal tissue for radiation that subsistence hunters were concerned may have come from the Fukushima nuclear accident in Japan. Since then, I've started studying the health impacts of depleted uranium in Iraq for my master's thesis at the American University of Beirut.
So what do you think are some reasons that more people aren't as passionate about this cause or involved in pushing for the elimination of nuclear weapons?
I think a lot of it is lack of awareness. I think that the voices of downwinders have often historically been silenced, and so people aren't aware of what the health impacts are of radiation exposure. Though I think increasingly people are starting to care about the risks of nuclear proliferation, especially in the current political situation in the U.S. and globally.
Yeah, and I'd add that then lack of awareness comes from the lack of quality education when it comes to teaching American history.
So together, both of your organizations are coordinating a film screening launch of, and it's also the launch of the Youth Congress. So the film screening is sort of the occasion for bringing everyone together to talk about the Youth Congress. And that screening, or the film, is The Man Who Saved the World. It's coming up Sunday, the 14th at 4 p.m., UAS Egan Lecture Hall. What is this film about?
So it's about it's a true story. It's about a Russian officer who didn't follow command protocols when in 1983 their control center detected five missile launches from the United States. He waited until he could get better verification than the computer system that was telling him they were under attack. And if he had followed those protocols, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. The estimates by people in the film is that 100 to 200 million Americans would have been killed.
Wow.
From a retaliatory strike. This film was screened throughout the country a week or so ago for Nuclear Abolition Day, International Nuclear Abolition Day. We decided to delay that until Shelby was here to use that as an opportunity to promote, you know, introduce this program of hers, as well as to the fact that, we didn't have a nuclear accident doesn't mean it can't happen again. And that becomes very clear when you see the movie, that there's a lot of reasons why we should worry that as long as we got the stockpiles, one may inadvertently go off somewhere.
I'm sure it'll be very enlightening.
Let me add, too, that Beth Kurtula is going to moderate the discussion on this. And she's got a very personal connection to nuclear weapons
Which
and
is?
Radiation testing. I'm not going to tell you. You've got to come
to
find out. Yeah. So.
So there will be a film screening and a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrific. Well, Sydney, Rich, thanks so much for being here today. Is there anything else you want to add about The Man Who Saved the World, the screening, which again is this Sunday, October 14th, 4 p.m. at UAS?
No. I think we're good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks so
for
much
having
for
us.
Being here.